This is David Cruz with the Comstock Report. Whenever there is a drought, flood, hurricane, wildfires, or some other form of weather tragedy, it has now become immediately linked to climate change. I'm not contesting that climate change is occurring or that it is linked to human activity, but many of these things would have occurred regardless. For example, there are drought cycles going back centuries before man added significant amounts of CO2 to the atmosphere. These cycles are visible in the rings of ancient trees, samples taken from pond sediment, and even ice cores. Many of these events are being conveniently used to raise alarm over man-made climate change as see-I-told-you-so arguments for the premise of accelerating climate change. My take would be that most of these weather anomalies would have occurred anyway, but the intensity and duration may be accelerated by the warming climate. The science is hard to deny, but unfortunately it has been drug into the political arena like so many other things, like the pandemic. There is an 89-year drought cycle in the United States for which the clock is now ticking. Dr. Elwin Taylor believes that 2025 is the target year. This epic drought will cover a period of years rather than be limited to a single year. It is not like the drought of 1988 or 2012 that quickly came and went in portions of the Corn Belt. It is more likely the follow-on to the drought in the 1930s as the drought of this century. The drought in the western United States is already challenging historical records, but many of those only go back 120 years or so. The NOAA drought monitor has just been around since 2000. If you lived in the western United States, you would already be experiencing the drought of the century, if not the drought for the millennium. It is unlikely that sequential droughts will be centered in the same location as the previous one. The Dust Bowl centered in Oklahoma and Kansas, with dirt from plowed sod from the plains blowing to the east coast. This time the drought is associated with wildfires, with one of the largest on record occurring in Oregon. It is hazy over New York today as the result of the smoke from these fires drifting east. There is some deja vu to that if you were paying attention. The footprint of this developing drought is huge, encompassing the western United States and Canada, or nearly half of North America. The consequences of this drought is intensified by man-made decisions for so many people to attempt to live in the desert southwest United States. Given the hydrologic reality of the intensity of water loss in this region and the water depletion of reservoirs, it will take years of favorable moisture conditions to recover. As water is rationed in this region, some once productive farmland is being idled. Drought is not the only weather extreme impacting portions of the Corn Belt. While it gets less attention, southeast Iowa and portions of Illinois and Missouri have lost the top side of their yield potential to flooding. The moisture flow from the Gulf has been open, and where the frontal boundary stagnates, they have been deluged with rain. Some have lost two crops of soybeans to wet conditions already this year before they gave up to fall back on crop insurance. Our climate scientist Eric Snodgrass has noted how the constant cloud cover over this wet region has blocked sunlight needed for photosynthesis. That is a flashback to 1993, when that year of flooding and no sunlight zapped test weights. The frontal boundary pushed further south this week, allowing them some sunshine for relief. Crop scouts say that Illinois has been too wet for a record yield. There are far too few states and regions where moisture conditions were right. Here in the Northwest Corn Belt, there have been too many stress degree days for it not to have negatively impacted yield potential, and there are many more SDDs in the forecast with little rain. There are reports that they've begun to chop silage in Minnesota 60 days early. Silage acres are not counted as harvested acres in USDA methodology, which is why I have been saying that there will be a significant loss on acreage harvested for grain in the Western Corn Belt. The rain that we got a week ago was used this week, allowing corn of the right maturity to pollinate. That will put us in about the same shape as a year ago, when subsoil reserves were exhausted and it stopped raining. I do not know where corn will get its moisture without more timely rains. The first comprehensive field survey of the 2021 crops will come from the Pro Farmer Crop Tour, August 16th to 19th. The USDA August crop report will be derived from a farmer's survey of their yield conditions. My argument is that they should have farmers evaluate their neighbor's crop instead of their own, as they tend to embellish their own yield potential and would have a more subjective evaluation of the neighbor's. You've been listening to the Comstock Report. For more information on marketing opportunities, contact us at comstock.com or call 712-227-1110.